Hello there, it's Jamila Jamil. Are you by any chance listening to this podcast promo while out on a walk? If so, good for you. That's going to make both your mind and your body feel better. On my podcast, I Weigh, this month, we're going to be exploring mental health and talking to amazing guests about other things that you can do to make yourself feel better with guests like Simon Sinek from The Optimism Company, therapist Vienna Farren, comedian Neil Brennan, and more. Listen to I Weigh wherever you get your podcasts.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode of TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode of TV I Say with Ashley Ray.
Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. Today on the show, I'm joined by one of my favorite past guests, a friend of the pod at this point. He came on last December to reveal his underrated TV hits of last year, and now he's back to talk about our favorite hits for halfway through 2023, because there's been so much TV, you're missing a lot of things. So welcome to Jason Mantzoukas. He is back to talk about his favorite shows. I don't think I even need to introduce you.
You don't even need. You can just completely abandon the intro. Let's go. We got a lot to talk about.
Wait, do you need me to say like a comedian, blah, blah, blah? No.
There's
TV to talk about.
There is more important things than my credits.
Yeah, come on. I do want to remind you listeners, you can still donate to the WGA. We are still on strike. If you want to donate to Hollywood crew members in need, please hit up the Entertainment Community Fund. That's entertainmentcommunity.org. And more important than Jason's credits.
We're going to be talking about a lot of incredibly well-written shows, many of which, if not most, fall under the WGA.
Yeah.
We are both striking. We are out there on those lines.
Yeah.
Supporting this strike.
You were at Netflix this week, I think, with the Big Mouth team.
I was with the Big Mouth group, the Animation Day at Netflix.
Netflix is rowdy. It's the rowdiest place to go strike. Yeah. So
it's pretty good.
I tell people. It's kind of a party. So how have you been? There's been so much TV this year. You feeling overwhelmed?
You know, I am feeling overwhelmed. I will say, like, I approach television now like it's part of like a job I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like I have a list and I keep a list of things to watch, and I keep like when I was preparing to talk to you, I just consult my media diet list, which is everything that I watch. I write down, but there is comes along with it all a degree of anxiety about like, oh no, I still have X number of episodes of such and such. I'm also a completist.
Same.
So if I watch enough of a thing, even if I'm not enjoying it that much, I have to finish.
I have to finish it, which is why I finished the last three episodes of Duncanville, which aired 8-9 months ago.
Oh,
finished
wow.
it last week. I was like, oh my God, there's still three episodes I didn't finish.
Oh my God.
So Fox's Duncanville had to get it done.
Yeah, you gotta check that box. And I find now TV and some other stuff, comics and some other things that operate in that same world, now is something that gives me so much joy, but also a degree of constant stress and anxiety such that I'm like, well, I'm not really in the mood for this right now, but I gotta watch two full episodes of it because otherwise I'm gonna fall too far behind or whatever it is.
Yeah, just this week I realized I totally forgot Dark Side of the Ring season 4 premiere was 3 days ago.
Oh,
I had no idea. I was like, how did I miss this? This should have been.
Or the worst will be sometimes I'll tune into something and I'll be like, oh, has such and such come out yet? And not only has it come out, the full season has.
Oh, yeah.
So suddenly there's 12 hours of something that's just now demands that I start watching it.
Yeah, that was for me, Rise of the Pink Ladies on Paramount Plus.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I didn't get into it.
You were into this Grease prequel that
I wasn't
gave
into
us.
The Grease school.
Yeah, the Grease school. It won me over. I'm on
Did
their
it?
Side. Like I love those girls now. Like they're my sisters. I need 80,000 seasons of the show. By the time I realized it was going, I was like, oh, there's just fully like 10 episodes out. Like I have.
Are
got
we
to-
now? Are we just now in full on 2020s nostalgia for the 60s and 70s nostalgia for the 50s.
Yeah.
Like we're now multiple steps fully removed from all of that.
I'm like, I just want three streaming things and I want them to tell me what's on TV from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. every night. And that's all I want.
It's exhausting. The list is just going through of stuff to talk about. And then I don't know, because I know you watch a tremendous amount of stuff and you also are incredibly present tense about what you're watching.
Yeah.
Rise of the Pink Ladies being a perfect example or, you know, but how often are you picking up and engaging in something from the past or something that someone is like, you know what, I think you would like, you know, like, let's just say, for example, you'd never seen Lost or
I've never seen Lost.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
that's
now
true.
will you engage in something, a show like that, knowing there's a lot of it, there's a lot of it to get through, and it's there's a whole discourse around it? Or is that like, that's just too much work?
Yeah, some of it, I'm like, I missed the boat. Like, there's too much. Lost is one of the ones where I'm like, I missed the boat. I'm not part of the conversation. That article just came out that was like, actually, it was all evil. So I'm just going to stay away. But then there's like The Sopranos where... Sure. That one I'll get to, you know, but that's like the treat. It's like I wait for that 2 weeks out of the year when everything's on hiatus. There's nothing new. And I look around and I'm like,
so you'll
schedule
that kind of a show then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Because I also find the thing that is killing me is I get so excited to dig into shows from the past.
Yeah.
Some of which I'm rewatching once again. You know, your West Wings, your Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
I've
been rewatching Gilmore Girls. It just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always. I'm always rewatching Gilmore
Always.
Girls. Somehow.
Always. That, 30 Rock, they're always just constantly playing somewhere in my house. Like...
Yeah. But it is. It really is. It then becomes a competition for, there's a new episode of blank that I'm watching and I'm so excited. But I also am like 6 seasons deep into Doctor Who. So I have 12 more seasons to go.
Yeah.
So do I need to knock a couple of those out?
Yeah. It's difficult to balance, you know, and as a TV expert, I work with a strict calendar. I try to keep certain genres to certain times and days. Documentaries, a lot of listeners might know, I do my like documentary weekends where I try to binge everything that was like Investigation Discovery or this new Amazon Prime doc that came out about the Duggar family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I wonder, because for me, it sounds like you do something that I do as well, which is certain types of shows or programming is relegated to certain times of day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a day show versus, I'm going to wait to watch one of my favorite shows in prime time or what I consider prime time.
Yeah.
But if I'm just going to burn a couple of episodes of, you know, an HBO doc or something like that, I'll do it during the day.
That's like a chore, folding clothes in the background.
Yes.
I'm hearing like when they cut her face in pieces and it's like, okay, that's fine. I would say, though, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace is a doc that came out this week. It's 6 episodes. And it's the new, like, Abandoned in Plain Sight. It is the new doc is going to, like, capture the world because it is so, so crazy. It's on Max and Discovery Plus and maybe Hulu if you have Hulu with live TV. But it is about this little girl.
Probably FUBU and Tubi.
Probably on Tubi, Pilot, TV. Murder TV.
Murder TV. Is there a channel called Murder TV, please?
Probably.
If not, like, let's start it.
Yeah, I would bet there's a Murder TV. But Natalia Grace, she was this girl who was adopted, and she had, like, all these genetic disorders that made her, like, grow differently. She was a little person, so she, like... kind of like it was very hard to tell how old she was, and the family that adopted her was like, she's 6, and then all of a sudden they were like, hold up, this little girl's not a little girl, like, she has a period, she's clearly like 22 years old, we're getting her re-aged. They go to court, like, have a doctor's note that's like, yeah, this girl's 22, and they get the girl re-aged. And they're like, she's 22. She lied to us. They get her an apartment and they're like, peace, live your life.
How long had she lived with them for?
She had lived with them for 2 years at this point when they're
so not very long. Okay.
Not
okay,
very long. And before
but
that. I mean,
but also 2 full years is not
pretty,
to,
is a little,
that's a long
is
time.
A little long.
But it wasn't like they'd spent like 10 years. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And before that, she hadn't been with the family for long. She had been bounced between all of these different orphanages because she came from Ukraine. So, you know, that's the first two episodes of the doc. You're like, this family, oh no.
Whoa.
Oh, goodness. And then you realize, like, they interview the people who were around her when she was living on her own. And they're like, so it was weird because she wrote like a child and she talked like a child and she played like a child. And she didn't know how to do laundry or cook or do anything. And I think she is a child.
What?
And then they slowly reveal that this family lied to get her re-age. And the whole time she was legitimately a child.
No.
Yeah.
Ashley, what are you telling
me? She was a child. They left her alone in an apartment. She was 10 years old.
Wait, so the villains, she's not a scammer. This isn't, she's
scam
a scammer.
Anyone. Yeah.
This is the bad, they're the villains.
But then the popular story in the media was just like, she scammed them. She forged documents. She's a bad person. They made that movie, The Orphan, which was like about an adult girl who gets adopted and murders people. And everyone was like, that's her. See, she's evil. And then the family she's been with now has lived with her for 10 decades. And they're like, she's a kid. Like she's clearly 17 years old. Like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
It's worth watching.
That's chilling.
Yeah. And that documentary, 3 nights, they did 2 episodes a night. Totally messed up my TV schedule this week.
Yeah. That sounds wild.
Yeah. And I can't stop thinking about it.
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. That's
yeah. So that's at the top of my watch list.
I don't like any of that. I don't that's tough
and
stuff.
And the adopted dad is in the documentary. It is one of the most insane performances in a documentary since we got the Firefest doc. Yeah, like since the Firefest doc where that guy was like, I almost, you know, sucked dick for water.
Oh God.
This is beyond that level. Like he doesn't realize for so much of it he's on camera and he'll be like, if you want me to do a take crying, let me do it again. And it's just like, bro, so, you know.
We really are in like a period of time, both societally and in what we watch, of like big villains.
Yeah.
Like we now are just surrounded everywhere you look by villains. Like people who are exhibiting overt villainous behavior.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
Yeah.
It's a wild place to be in, to look around and be like, at every level systemically, we are surrounded by like mustache twirling villains who aren't even interested in like covering it up, who are just like, no, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
You know?
They show his lawyers like working on the case and being like, look at that girl dragging a trash can. She has to be an adult. And it looks like a child struggling with a trash can.
Oh my God. Can you imagine you're a kid who comes from Ukraine and like, this is what, I mean, like, this is crazy.
Oh, don't worry. They interview the birth mom. So.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to spoil it. No spoilers on TV Club.
No spoilers.
Yeah. But that's top of my list.
Yikes.
I want to dig into your list. I believe the listeners probably for this episode don't care about what I'm watching. They want to know what you're watching.
You know what though, Ashley? I care about what you're watching because you are watching stuff like this docuseries you just said that don't get on my radar.
Yeah. You know.
So I please let me know. I want to hear your list.
It's just my mom and I watch an Investigation Discovery.
My God.
That doesn't get to everybody.
Well, now that it's maxed out, now that it's maxified.
Yeah, now that it's maxified, that there's no borders between cable channels anymore, we'll see what happens. But I like what you said about watching certain shows during certain times of days, because for me, if I hadn't been watching this documentary for days, it would have just been a lot of adult animated shows, because I like to watch those during the day in the morning, like starting my breakfast with Bob's Burgers. Like
Bob's Burgers, Great North.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of shows that shows.
And I know you don't want to toot your own horn here, but Housebroken.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Housebroken, okay. Absolutely.
I'm loving Housebroken.
Oh, no, I'm so glad. That's great.
Oh, my goodness. It just seems like everyone is having the most fun voicing
It's a
characters.
Blast. It's a blast. The cast is, like, all murderers. You know, Sharon Horgan, Tony Hale, Sam Richardson, Nat Faxon. It's like Clea DuVall.
Marie Bamford.
Yes, one incredible performance after another. It's great. It's a super fun show. Those table reads are hilarious. We do them all on Zoom. And it's like everybody in their little boxes just screaming those crazy voices at each other. It's very funny. I love that show. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it's now in the Sunday night Fox
yeah, it's
lineup,
in the official lineup. I felt like that first season I was screaming at people to realize it was on.
Yes.
Now people are like, oh, yeah, it's that show that comes on with the Great North and Bob's Burgers. And I'm like, yeah, see?
I will say that's the thing that's really hard, too, because I'm also a voice for a character on Star Trek Prodigy.
Yeah.
Which is an animated show, one of the animated Star Trek shows that skews a little younger. The characters are all teenagers. All this, it's an incredible show. It's beautifully animated, great young people adventure storytelling. It's a blast. It looks great. It's tied into all the Star Trek mythology and canon and all that stuff. But because it lives on Paramount Plus and not everybody has Paramount Plus, it really exists in a space where I feel like it doesn't get enough attention. Like, I feel like Housebroken, what it needed to be in that Sunday night Fox lineup to get the eyeballs.
Animation domination.
Like,
come on.
Yeah. There's all these shows that I feel like are incredible, but are not well serviced by the service that they're on.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of those, I think, and it was on the list that we have compiled for you, is Digimon. Have you been watching
Digimon?
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's
loved
so
Digimon.
Funny. And
incredible first season. Neil Campbell created show, who's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine writer and a super funny UCB guy, you know, a great writer. Andy Samberg,
Mitra
Juhari.
Just incredible cast. And then it's on Comedy Central, and my friends are just like, I don't even know how to watch Comedy Central anymore.
Yes. You know, and because I'm 50 and still have cable, I'm watching it. But everybody I'm like, hey, are you watching Digimon? They're like, wait, I didn't even know that was on.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, how do I get
And I was like,
it?
It's on Comedy Central. And they were like, well, how do I get that?
To that? Is there still a Comedy Central app? Kind of.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a fucking mess.
Yeah. And I have Hulu with live TV, so I was able to see it. But
You
only get the episodes for a certain amount of time, I guess. Because now every time I open, it's like Digimon's leaving in a week. And I'm just like.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
The process now is infuriating almost on every level.
Yeah.
You know, and how proprietary all these companies are means Apple TV won't let Netflix have any of their stuff on
all
up
stuff
next.
On this and you can't.
So you really have to, for a passive experience to sit back, relax, and watch your shows, you have to be so much more active now than ever before.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the shift to Max? Have you been diving into Max?
You know, I haven't as much. Ooh. You know, I downloaded it because I'm watching Doctor Who, like I mentioned, but also because the new season of one of my absolute favorite comedies, The Other Two, has started, season three.
And they made you download Max to get the next episode of The Other Two. And I was like, oh, you got me. Like, And you had to watch the new episodes of Clone High. So I was like, fine.
Great.
I'll get Max. I'll do it. And
I
hate it.
And I'm annoyed. And I'm absolutely annoyed. I think it's absolutely absurd. The UI is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Although HBO Max's UI was also terrible.
Also horrible.
And crashed constantly.
Yeah. But now it's like you're crashing and you're also putting like MILF Island in front of me. Like, please.
It's a mess. It looks like a cacophony of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, like I look at all the tiles that are up there and I'm like, is this for me or is this just here are random shows?
Here's the thing we made. Like, what Zoe Deschanel eats. And I'm like, is that so that's the thing? That's
yes,
the show.
Because everybody now has a show about what they eat and where they go.
And where they go. And some of them I watch, you know. Padma Lakshmi, I could watch her go anywhere and eat anything.
Forever and always.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
One of the best.
I love it.
Chillin' Island. don't know that I needed to see the...
I don't know what that is.
It was like the rapper from Das Racist, the group that was popular in 2012. Yeah, sure. It was the hype man, the guy who didn't rap. It was him and his other friend who was a failed rapper traveling. And it was just kind of like, why are we following them? Like, what? Yeah. Like, yeah, who did they trick into giving them this
I watched
show?
A bunch of the Eugene Levy one, the thesis of which seemed to be Eugene Levy doesn't like to travel.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a bold step. What a bold move to be like, I really would rather be home, but here I am in Iceland.
I just don't want to be here. And now there's one with Rainn Wilson where it's the whole concept is just like, he loves to travel. He's so happy about it. That's the whole show.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's get to one on your list. You started with the other two. I want to talk about it because I think it's the best comedy out right now.
It is.
And this season is killing it.
This season is incredible. They have they started with a great show, but every season have leveled up to a degree that I really feel like this is really one of the best comedies of the last bunch of years. It's a show that I find really dials in a tone that is so difficult to do, and they're doing it so nimbly and so effortlessly, which is they are careening between absolute absurdity and crazy jokes, really funny, outrageous jokes. And then in the next scene, truly a heartbreaking emotional moment.
Yeah.
Like that lands.
That totally
isn't
lands.
That isn't sold out by a joke, they're allowing these characters to exist both emotionally true to themselves, so you are on board for that journey, but then they are also letting them just be buffoons.
Yeah.
You know, heightened extremes that are deeply funny.
Yeah, I feel like this season has been the season of Carrie, the gay villain. I've loved seeing Carrie just slowly break down and lose every principle and moral. And
and all of it because the thing that's driving him towards it is he's in a relationship with an actor whose method so remains in character all the time.
Yeah.
So each episode, his boyfriend is in a new project. So in a bunch, he's like a Christmas virgin or something like that. It's so funny.
Virgin or the AIDS play guy. Yes. AIDS play might have been my favorite episode.
Oh my God. The AIDS play thing was so funny. But again, that's a perfect example. The absurdity of that bit and then the real emotion that is happening for, like, Brooke and Lance.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you're watching Brooke blow her incredible relationship up. Oh, like, and
I'm glad to hear you're a fan of Lance, too.
Oh, the best.
Yeah,
the best.
Like,
it's like, what a great performance. What a great character. Incredible.
He's so good.
That actor I also liked in She-Hulk as well.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was really good in that. When he is Lance, I just can only see him as Lance. He is so Lance that I just...
Well, it's also like iconically... It's such an iconic character in that show, like a singular character in that show.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I also feel like it's one of the first times I saw him. So it's really, Lance is really baked into how I see that actor.
Yeah. And I think,
for better or worse,
when he's introduced on the other two, you think he's going to be made fun of. You think he's not going to like be around for long. You're like, okay, this is just like the guy that is dumb they make fun of. And by season three, he's the family. You're just like, no, Lance needs a win.
He is the heart. He's literally the heart of that show.
And
he's the heart of the show in a way that is so compelling and so wonderful. The show is fantastic. And I mean, this is a show in which, I mean, Molly Shannon's in this show. Ken Marino's in this show. Every episode has guest stars that are home runs. It's a great show.
Yeah. I could talk about it all day. Every single performance, I'm like, oh, and when Ken does it. But there's still so much TV to talk about. Okay, what's next on your list? What do you got?
What else do I got? While we're in the half-hour comedy sitcom space, I'll shout out season three of Party Down.
Heck yeah.
That came out earlier in the year. Also, absolutely gangbusters.
So good.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Loved it. So funny.
So far for me, I think the best reboot I've seen. It was like no time had been lost. It was just as fresh, just as funny, just as tight.
And I really liked that the time that had passed since the last season, I don't know, what was it, 10 years ago or something? I don't know when Party Down was, 10 years ago probably. I liked that they picked right up, dialed right back into Party Down, the architecture of Party Down, but they let all of the characters have growth and emotional stuff, and they let everybody get to a place where now they could play different colors and different tones.
Yeah.
And that I thought was great. It wasn't just, here's more of the same. It was, what if all these characters had grown in these ways in the last 10 years, but we plugged them straight back into
where they are.
the format, you know, which was great.
Everything with Henry teaching just hit perfectly for me. And another one where I'm kind of like, it being on Stars. No, I was like, how do I even get Stars now? I totally forgot about that network, and I just got it for Party Down. So
yeah, there's been a bunch of shows that I've engaged with a platform or gotten a service simply to watch that one show.
Yeah, just one show, and I'm like, you're canceled in a month and a half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other one that was like that, because I also had to get Stars for the Party Down. The other one that was like that for me was one of my dad TV shows, which was Stephen Knight's SAS Rogue Heroes.
No idea what that is.
Yeah, that's right. What a treat that I can say something that you've never heard of.
What is
that's
this?
That's truly rare.
What is it and what is it on?
Stephen Knight made Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
He did the most recent Great Expectations that was on Hulu. He did a series. This is like in my full-on dad TV, Justified, Slow Horses, loved that new season. Bosch Legacy, all the dad stuff I watch. SAS Rogue Heroes is a World War II series that's basically about the creation of the SAS, which is British Special Forces.
Okay.
And so it's Stephen Knight's version of a war story. So it's like desert combat, charming rejects who all are getting drummed out of the military, who all get brought together because of their exceptional weirdness makes them great.
The perfect team
kind of
when they're all together.
Guerrilla warfare style stuff. And the needle drops are all like, and here's some AC/DC. It's all like incongruous music for a blast of a show. And I say that even though the latter half of the season has some of the worst fake beards I've ever seen in history.
Yeah.
Like, so much so that I was like, I don't care if the real men had beards. If these guys can't have beards, have beards.
Just take the beards off. I love that. Okay.
It's great.
What platform is it on?
Oh, I think I had to download like Epics for it. Or something like that. I had to download another whole thing for it.
Epics is, I thought they were doing comedy. I know they put out like a Wanda Sykes comedy special a while ago.
Oh, wow.
And maybe now
they also did a show. They also did a show that I loved a couple of years ago that only ran for one season, but it was a great season. And it was Steve Conrad's show, Perpetual Grace Limited.
No, didn't see that one.
Okay, did you watch Patriot on Amazon?
No.
Steve Conrad show Patriot? So it's a great, like, that's one of my favorite shows of the last,
that sounds like, you know, a dad
the last
show.
15 years. It's a total dad
Patriot
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about a guy who's a CIA agent whose handler is his father.
Oh, wow.
And it's split between a spycraft show because he's having to do this CIA mission.
Yeah.
But the way that he has to do it is he gets put in undercover in an industrial pipe company as an employee of an industrial pipe company so that he can travel with that company legally to countries and go and kill people and do operations in Luxembourg, in all these places that this company has business. The company doesn't know he's a CIA agent.
Okay.
And so part of the show is like an Office Place comedy where he's pretending to know about industrial piping. And part of it is a brutal, stressful spycraft show.
Okay.
I mean, it's a blast.
I would watch this.
It's a phenomenal show. There's two seasons.
Yeah, I would watch this.
It's a great show. And then after that show gets canceled, Steve Conrad does another show called Perpetual Grace Limited that's very similar, uses all of the same cast. It's like a down and dirty crime story, except he adds to the incredible cast Sir Ben Kingsley, Jackie Weaver, Jimmy Simpson. The cast is nuts.
Okay.
And it's a crime story like
Epics
on the southern border.
How did they get this?
I know. And it's expensive.
Yeah.
It looks expensive. It's crazy. It's a great show.
Like Amazon
These are not
Prime
recent
Video,
shows.
They're spending billions out here and they're not
God.
Pulling this off.
And they're oh yeah. I don't need $1 billion Lord of the Rings franchise.
I don't need that. I don't need the Wing of Time or the Wheels of Time or whatever it is.
Yes, I don't need that either. You know what? Give us another season of Paper Girls, you fools.
Yeah, yeah. My producer is saying Epix is now MGM Plus, maybe, he thinks. So
Ooh, okay. So
maybe,
I bet
yeah,
it's there.
So maybe check out the MGM Plus app.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Why? What the? Oh boy.
It's so much.
I'm sorry. Those were both old recommendations.
Yeah, I mean,
but SAS Rogue Heroes is a new one. I love Peaky Blinders. I'll throw another thing out that's not an old. It's a new show that I absolutely adored, but it very much scratches an old itch for me,
yeah.
And that was Poker Face.
Oh, Poker Face was amazing. I
loved
Poker Face.
I loved every element from it because it felt like TV from when I loved watching TV as a young person. It felt like old episodes of Magnum P.I.
Columbo.
Or Rockford Files or Columbo, especially. That kind of case of the week detective rooting around in a small town. It felt like Columbo meets the old Incredible Hulk series.
Yeah. And just,
you know, traveling town to town.
I miss shows where it's like, they have a skill. We don't know why, but that you just trust the skill.
Loved it.
Oh,
loved it.
I love that.
I loved it. And I loved that it wasn't so heavily serialized.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love all of our long form storytelling TV narratives that we now like exist inside of and spend all of our time
every show
pontificating
is,
and who's that and what do you think about this and do you think they're going to go here next or there next and and all of the discourse around so many of these shows, especially these big IP shows, I love a show where it's like she drives into a town, meets somebody, or actually first somebody gets killed, then she arrives and meets somebody, and then a friendship is born, and now she has to solve
and
a case,
she
and
figures
then
figures it out. It
and then see you later, on to the next town.
Yeah, like you keep waiting for the moment. It's like, oh, this is when she's gonna stay in a place, and this is when like, or there were so many guest actors where I was like, this person's so amazing. There's no way they're just gonna kill them off, and then they do.
Nope.
And
see you later.
See you later. I love that. Like, let's bring back TV with real stakes. Okay.
I agree. 100%. Because I think it's really fun to just be inside of her world.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to worry about like, oh, we're also tracking these three other people and their stories
or like her history,
you know?
Or what's her relationship with her mother and blah, how'd she
don't
end
care.
Up? Don't care. Just care about the car, the next town. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I am eagerly awaiting season two. On your list, you had Shrink, Apple TV.
Yes.
How'd you feel about that one?
The Tim Balch? No,
that's
Shrinking. You're talking about Shrinking.
Oh, wait. Okay.
I'm talking about the Tim Balch
You're talking
Balch
about
show
Shrink,
that's on
which is
Peacock.
On Peacock and is amazing.
Yes. Yes. This is an old show.
Yeah, this is an old show that was originally on CISO. And then CISO doesn't exist. Exactly. And then we thought it would be gone. But luckily, Peacock bought it. It is so good. I watched it last year.
That show is hilarious.
It's so funny.
I'm a huge fan of Tim Baltz, who's the star and creator of that show.
And he's in Righteous Gemstones. If you don't know who he is, he is the fiance, I guess, of the daughter.
Yes, of Edie Patterson's character.
And he is so good in this. He's
incredibly funny. And it also, it's a show that has an element. He's an improviser. You know, I know him from, you know, UCB improv circles. The show is full of his kind of peer group of Chicago improvisers, which delights me.
Yeah.
And there is clearly an element inside of the sessions where they are improvising, which is always funny. The cast is great. The show is a blast.
Yeah.
And I think there's only one season of it, sadly, but it's absolutely worth checking in on because it's a great half hour comedy, full stop.
And it's set in Chicago. It actually really does get the city pretty accurate. Like I complain a lot about Chicago inaccuracies, and they really do get it here.
Oh yeah, you had strong words for the Bear.
I had strong words for the Bear, and they're not making those mistakes here. Okay, you're not watching Shrink and you're like, how come he's near the Brown Line when he's in this part of town? No, they get it right. So and it's been getting confused with Shrinking, which is on Apple TV. And both plots are kind of similar. Like, Shrink is about a guy who isn't a therapist yet, but he's like doing kind of like intern hours in his garage.
Yeah, he has to, I can't remember what the number is, but he has to do like 2,000 hours of free therapy in order to qualify to get his license.
Yeah.
But he's terrible at it.
Horrible at it.
You know, he's really, really bad.
Just horrible at it. And then Shrinking is a guy who was a good therapist who suddenly decides to start being a bad therapist.
And I have not watched that at all.
Yeah.
So I can't speak to that. I've not.
All you're doing on Apple TV is Slow Horses.
And some of the documentaries.
Oh.
Honestly.
I don't do their documentaries, really.
Yeah. I think they've got one. The one that I watch, I think I'm right that it's Apple TV. They have one called Make or Break that's just about, I watch a lot of documentaries that are about things that I don't care about, but I find interesting story-wise.
Yeah.
So it's a docuseries about the professional surf circuit. So it's all about, like, one episode will be like the rookies, and one episode will be like the veterans, and one episode will be like one particular event or this or that. And it's just great stories inside of a sport that I truly don't care about. I don't follow. I don't know any of these people. But it's kind of like 30 for 30 in the sense of, like, these are great stories, like, just full stop.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it even though I don't have any interest in the sport itself. I'll watch it just for the stories.
That's me with most.
If you then turned on an event. Yeah, if you then turned on an event of surfing, I wouldn't watch it.
No. Seems boring to me. I wouldn't know surfing. You stayed on the board.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll watch the stories around it all day.
Yeah. I do a sports documentary if it is scam or crime involved. I've been watching the second season of Rich and Shameless, which this season is totally dedicated. It's I think it's TNT, but it's also on Max. But it's the first season was like about just scammers all over the world. They went into the guy who did Girls Gone Wild and like how he fell from grace.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second season is all about different athletes. So they look at Dennis Rodman and how this lady like scammed millions of dollars from him. And I had never heard about this story, but it was like in the last 10 years and she's still in prison. And it's like about how easily he got scammed by this like family. There's an episode about Hulk Hogan and the whole Gawker thing, which was really good. That one.
That's interesting, I bet. Yeah.
But I'm always just like, I don't know anything about the sports part of this, but I love the crime. Great.
And I feel similar. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything that has a great story to it. I really don't care about the sports, you know, of it all, you know.
Yeah.
And I find, too, it's funny. I'll sometimes be telling someone about a sports documentary that I watched, and they will have full knowledge of the whole story because they follow sports.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I had no idea that this crazy thing happened. And they'll be like, Wait, really?
Yeah.
That was like the biggest story and I'm just 10 like, years ago or whatever.
I was like, I don't pay attention
And I'm like,
to that.
Wow, I had no idea. This was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't do the sports, so I did not know. But
yeah,
you get me the docuseries and I'll sit right there and I'm like, now yeah, I know who Manny Te'o is.
Yeah. You're right, though. I barely engage with Apple TV Plus or whatever it
Why
is.
Why do you think
Apple
that
Plus.
Is? I mean,
very little of it really do I find. There is that kind of, everybody talks about that kind of homogenous look to a lot yeah. of it, that it all feels too similar and not none of it feels, I don't know, even things that I feel like, oh, I should check in on. I haven't yet. High Desert.
Oh, yeah. I want to check in on that one. I love Patricia.
I want to look at that. Silo also looks interesting to me, but interestingly, they've now been out for weeks and
I have not
yet watched either of them.
Say anything about it.
Exactly.
You know?
So I don't know what that is. There isn't, it's not sticky, I guess.
Yeah, and
or
I feel like Ted Lasso overwhelmed so much of Apple's marketing that it was just like
yeah.
all Ted Lasso. Like, that was the Apple
yeah,
TV show.
That's true.
And now that it's maybe done, I'm hoping maybe these other shows get their chance.
I guess I wonder, yeah, that's kind of it. You're right. I don't hear a lot of people, because I listen to you talk about TV. I listen to a lot of other podcasts where they either talk about TV all the time or just every once in a while they'll talk about what they're watching or do recommendations or whatever. And almost never do any of these shows that we're talking about, the, you know, Silo, Shrinking, High Desert, with the exception of Slow Horses, which is truly fantastic.
Yes, yes.
Very few Apple TV shows pierce the kind of cultural zeitgeist,
yeah.
You know, and that is
except,
shocking.
Yeah, except for Ted Lasso, which
yes, I'm
hits
sorry,
so
you're right.
hard. But now I...
Wait, was Bad Sisters
yes,
Apple?
Yes, it was. That one was good.
Okay, that,
I love
I
Bad
really
Sisters.
Thought that was
yeah.
great. And again, another show where every time I mentioned it casually to people, they'd be like, oh, I've never heard of that. What is it?
Yep.
And that, you know, really is interesting to me. That tells me two things. One, there really is no cultural awareness that Apple is making
shows
beyond Ted
yeah.
Lasso. And two, I use Apple TV as one of my main interfaces because Apple TV, you can bundle.
Yeah.
You not
but
bundle,
like,
but
it has all the apps.
You can
in
put
it.
Yes. So like my Hulu shows will show up there. My Amazon Prime shows will show up there. Everything with a couple of exceptions will be in the Apple TV lineup, and then they smartly will advertise around that with their own shows and blah blah blah. So I'm seeing Bad Sisters because I'm going to Apple TV to watch Bosch,
yeah.
you know,
of course.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, since last we spoke, I've watched literally all of Bosch.
And that's, there's what now, Bosch and Bosch Legacy?
Bosch
is
Legacy
that two Bosches? Is that like a son-dad Bosch
man.
Situation?
It's dad-daughter.
Oh, okay. It's 2023. Yeah.
Oh, if you're wondering if there's a kid Bosch, there's
and
a kid
And it's a
Bosch.
Lady.
It's a lady kid Bosch.
Okay.
I want that to be the next show. Lady kid
lady
Bosch. Kid lady Bosch.
I didn't even
yeah,
know Bosch
it
was like a dad. I mean, I guess I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Bosch is out in these streets fucking.
Wow.
It's interesting because
I don't know what Bosch is about. I just have assumed it's something like a.
Ooh,
a,
you know what? Guess.
Okay, let
yeah,
me guess
let's
what
go.
I think Bosch is about. I think it's like a FBI agent who it plays by his own rules and he has his own theories and he's going against the grain and sometimes he's getting in trouble, but most of the time he's right. So, but then he realizes he can like do better outside of the system.
Okay. So, I mean, so close.
Okay.
Like, I mean, all of the personality stuff, you're dead
okay,
on.
He does play by his own rules.
Plays by his own rules, pushes the edge, you know, but he's always right. You know, all that stuff, true. He's not an FBI agent. He's just a straight up Hollywood homicide detective.
Oh.
He's just a like street level cop.
Okay.
Not like a, not, I'm sorry, not a uniformed cop.
Yeah, like
but
a
like
a detective.
Homicide
yeah.
detective. And he's in the series. You don't see this, but at some point in the past, one of his cases was turned into a movie. So he also has like a beautiful house in the hills.
Sure.
You know, he got like a paycheck at one point. So there's like a bit of like flashy kind of, he lives in a modernist house in the hills, but his mother was killed when he was a child. He grew up in like youth homes and orphanages. Mm. He's had this brutal life. So part of the early seasons, he's always concurrently solving the case that he catches episode one of that season. But he's also in the background trying to solve, in the early seasons,
his mother's murder. Of course.
In later seasons, it's these other cold cases that he's never been able to get traction on or whatever.
Ah.
And so they're straight procedurals. They're like an elevated one-hour procedural.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Is what it is. It is pretty humorless, I'll be honest.
Oh.
Like, it's hilariously... Bosch lives in a world where no one cracks jokes. It's really funny.
I feel like that would make it very funny. Just
It's deadly serious to a degree that is sometimes hilarious.
Do you think in the future Bosch's child will have to solve his murder?
Oh boy, I would love it. I would love it if Maddie Bosch has to solve Harry Bosch's murder. That
Bosch
would be incredible.
Next Generation.
But it's a great. I will say it's a great show. It's an incredibly rich cast. The late Lance Reddick, R.I.P., legend, a true, like, one of the most wonderful, sweetest men, is in it as the police chief.
Oh, my gosh.
Jamie Hector from The Wire, Marlo Stansfield from The Wire, Bosch's partner, J. Edgar, and he has his own, as the series goes on, he has his own huge storyline that is fascinating and super interesting.
I mean, you're kind of selling me with this cast now.
Oh, it's pretty great. Amy Aquino, and then they bring in people. Mimi Rogers is in there. They bring in people every season as the bad guys. And it's kind of justified in that way. You've got your core group, and then each season's case brings in a bunch of good guest stars, you know?
I mean, this will be put on my list of like, someday I'll watch this, like on a hot summer week, and then a week later I'm like, I've watched every episode, and it'll be 10 seasons in.
Try it as an afternoon watch. You might enjoy it because it feels like it's like Poker Face, actually. It feels like old school TV, but without the jokes. Yes, it feels like old school TV. It feels like a really good version of like NYPD Blue or like one of those kind of procedural 1 hours, but it's just better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
I mean,
it's
I
just
need
better.
Something to take the place of the Goldbergs in my heart and in my screening
time.
Oh,
I don't know if this, I don't.
So I can slot it into my Goldberg slot, you know?
Holy shit. Replacing the Goldbergs with Bosch is hilarious.
Feels like a lateral move to me.
Oh my God. That's very funny.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Also had on your list This Fool,
oh, yeah,
which was also on my list. Season 2
loved
will
it.
Be out in July. So good.
Show's incredible.
It's incredible. And it's getting lost in Hulu. And I know the bear's going to come out and everyone's just going to care about that again. But watch this fool.
And not only to say that in terms of like the siloed nature of what is Hulu and what is, because these are FX shows.
Yeah.
And what's getting lost in this shuffle is FX is the only network that's still willing to make comedies.
Yeah.
You know, that's still out there making hard, funny shows. And I mean, that's a hyperbolic statement because we just said Comedy Central is doing
well,
Digman.
Well, they have Digman and they seem to be
Max
focused
has got the
on
other
like
two.
Animation, but they canceled all of their live action shows. And
I know.
Doesn't look like they're going to renew Nora from Queen. So,
oh, is that right?
That's what it's looking like. And it's who knows what's happening over there. But I would imagine because WB has ended a lot of their animated stuff and there's this weird Adult Swim like cartoon some cartoons on Comedy Central that are re-aired there are actually owned by like Sony, which is under the Max umbrella or whatever, so it's like those shows end up there instead of on the like Viacom app, which is Paramount.
Isn't it interesting, Ashley, that in this podcast where here we are simply trying to talk about and turn people on to great TV, we have to spend so much time digressing to try and explain to people where they can watch these things now versus 6 months ago versus who knows six months from now.
It might not even be on there because now Disney.
It's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, Disney bought Hulu or they owned it already, but now they're combining them into one app and they're like, oh, we don't want the Disney stuff next to your gross FX shows that are about sex.
Yeah, we can't have The Little Mermaid next to Pam and Tommy.
So they're just like, and so Hulu's like, okay, we'll just get rid of it. Like that whole, like just the whole thing, they just.
And it's a real shit show because the other thing that people are doing is, whether it's, you know, Zaslav at HBO or now Disney starting to do it, they're starting to just pull shows off of the servers. Yeah. So if I even told you one of my favorite shows of the last 10 years was Infinity Train, the animated series Infinity Train, you couldn't go watch it. It's not there anymore. It's not just canceled. It's erased. Yeah. And that's
heartbreaking. It's so sad. Yeah. You know? Did you watch The Premise on FX? It was the BJ Novak show.
No, I did not.
It came out last year. It had Tracee Ellis Ross, Io DeBerry.
Oh, wow.
So many people. It was incredible. Didn't really make a lot of waves, and then they just took it off. Like, I've been trying to refer or to recommend this one episode to people, and they're just like, it's not on there anymore. Like, it's just gone forever.
And that's like, I don't understand that, because you're not allowing people to discover things later and for things to have moments later in time.
Yeah.
You know, you're really saying, we'd prefer this have never been
just
done.
We spent all the money and we wish it just didn't happen. And it's like, okay, it's just three whole seasons of Dollhouse. I have multiple friends now who are just like, all of my projects have been taken down. Like every project I've worked on.
Yeah. One of the ones, I was on an animated series on that started at TBS that went to HBO Max called Close Enough.
Yeah.
An animated show called Close Enough from J.G. Quintel and all the team that did Regular Show. It was incredibly funny show.
Gone. It's just gone.
Done. Forget about it. Yep. See you later.
I never got to watch the last season. And I'm just like, what?
Oh.
Okay.
It was great.
Well, thanks for rubbing it in my face. I'll never know.
Yeah,
you
missed it.
I will never know.
But all this to say, what an annoyance that we can't just rave about things and you as a listener can just plug it in
and watch
away,
just
right?
Go to the...
And to that end, how this started was trying to talk about this fool.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, one of very few, I think, funny shows, like truly funny half-hour sitcoms. One that's primarily focused on jokes, you know? It's a Chris Estrada... Great stand-up, hilarious show. It's a hilarious show. I preferred, because I loved them both, but not enough. See, this is how much this fool didn't penetrate. Last year, Michael Imperioli turned in two incredible performances. One that he got tons of accolades for, White Lotus, season 2. The other is in This Fool. This Fool. And nobody was talking about it. And it, what a missed opportunity to be like, look at Michael Imperioli is doing all this great
range.
Stuff.
He is playing a man who lives in a van and is like willing to have sex to save like his community center. And it's just like if this show had aired on, I don't know, NBC or something 5 years ago, even it would have been like an Abbott Elementary level hit. We would have like we'd have a three season renewal. And
there are a handful of shows, I think some of which we talked about the last time we spoke, that because of the way things are structured now and how things are going, people just are not made aware of them the way they are on network TV. And these are all shows that to me feel like they could be on network TV. And in fact, This Fool or Southside or these shows should be what are Killing It, the Craig Robinson, Claudio Dorrady.
Which has another season coming
killing
out.
Killing It.
Yeah. And had no idea that it has one. I just happened to follow the cast.
These are all shows. Exactly. These are all shows that should just be network sitcoms. This is what we should be watching as a network sitcom now. Yeah. And we don't. And we're it's this weird dissonance where these incredible shows are getting lost in the black hole that is the internet or whatever, this gaping maw of just stuff.
Yeah, this will be the next one on my watch list, but my favorite, I think, TV black hole is Freevee on Amazon Prime Video.
I've got two shows on there to talk about. Let's go.
Okay, Jury Duty, Primo, Sprung.
Primo, great.
So good.
I'm going to throw out High School. Have you watched High School, the Tegan and Sarah show?
Oh, no, I didn't watch that one yet. I have no Tegan and Sarah had a show on there, though, and I was like, I gotta do
it. It's great. So, and to be clear, like, this is a show that it's what I love about both Primo and High School is because I love a coming of age story. I love American Born Chinese, also on my list. That's a great coming of age story as well. But Primo and High School are. You know, both high school set young people's coming of age stories, sitcoms that are great. So this, the Tegan and Sarah one is, it's their story as kids.
Oh.
So they, Clea DuVall made it and she's plays their mom. And it's these two incredible young actors play them, they're twins. If you know Tegan and Sarah, they're Canadian twins singing group.
One of the first bands I saw in concert when I was in sixth grade. Yeah.
Really? Oh, my God. Then you got to watch this show.
I loved Tegan and Sarah.
So it's about their high school years. Wow. It's kind of their story. But it's, you know, I'll be honest. I do not know a lot about Tegan and Sarah, full stop. And I love this show. You do not. In other words, this isn't a show
for fans
of their music or for fans. Although I'm sure it's added.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's jokes where they're like, how about we meet in the living room? And you're probably like,
totally.
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea.
Would be like,
but it's not a kind of like for fans show. It's just a straight high school coming of age story that's very sweet and very funny and is a blast.
See, okay. That's going on my list because we have Never Have I Ever coming back soon. That's another coming of age show I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been kind of biding time since I finished Primo so fast. I watched it all in a day. It was,
Like
such a good ensemble.
It's a blast.
I wish I had savored it a little more or it had been released weekly like Jury Duty because I was just like, I want to talk about it.
I wish it was on, I feel like if that show had been on NBC, ABC, any of those networks, people would be losing their minds. People would be flipping out over all the uncles. There would be all this, like, which uncle are you bullshit.
Which one's
would,
the hottest?
There would be,
the mean one.
There would be a discourse around it. And as of now, it is like, this is a Mike Schur produced, Shea Serrano written. This is like, these are like, this should have more, this is a noisy show that should have
just
more.
Tons of noise. There should be a press cycle. There should be like.
Well, and similar, and I know we're kind of going back and forth between live action and animation and blah, blah, blah. I felt the same about Digman.
Yeah.
You know, here's an Andy Samberg starring animated comedy that's hilarious, that has a great cast, is absolutely outrageously hysterical, and I'm not hearing
anybody
talking
about it. And that's also how I felt about Little Demon. If you caught that one.
I didn't watch it. Well, though. I know what it is, but I didn't
you
watch
can
it.
Never
though.
Watch it because they
gone?
Took it off of the app. They never even said if
God
it was canceled or renewed. They just took the first season off the app and it was like, okay, so I guess
Jesus Christ.
It's done then. So
that's fucking absurd.
Yeah. It's What do you got on your list? What else?
What else? I'm trying to go through and edit as we're going. What else do you? Anything else on your list? Just so
I've been watching Platonic, which we did a lot of Apple TV talk, and I think it suffers from the same issue of seeming too similar to other Apple TV shows, where it's like centered around this nice white guy who's middle aged, having middle age breakdown, and then some nice girl helps him. But it's just crazy because Apple TV has the money to hire good writers and it looks good.
Well, that's the
thing. So it's like, technically, yes, this is an intriguing story. That was a good joke. You're by the, it's all like by the template. This is a good show. But there's like some spark missing.
Well, isn't that interesting? Like there really is, these companies, Apple and Amazon specifically, have all the money in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And how they're choosing to spend it is fascinating. because both of them are building libraries. They're starting from scratch and they are building libraries. And the way they're choosing to build their libraries is pretty wild. Like all of this stuff that is this first wave of Apple TV is, I'm going to say, confounding, in terms of what is the identity of this
platform
or this platform,
what are we doing here, Apple? I don't know. I'm waiting for Severance to come back, but
of course.
And now that Ted Lasso's done, I don't know that Platonic is enough to keep my Apple TV membership active,
It's pretty interesting. And Amazon is even more interesting, I feel like, because they began by saying, we're the home of Transparent and some of the shows I was mentioning earlier, like Patriot.
Or The Marvelous Miss Maisel. That's the one.
Maisel. Like all these kind of auteur-driven, smaller stakes, kind of almost indie, in terms of like some of the creators came from like indie film world and stuff like that. And then they kind of seem to scrap that entire ethos and we're like, now we make billion-dollar franchises.
We just
do mega
we
IP.
We spend $10 million on Citadel. That's what we do. And then our good shows, we'll put them on Freevee where people have to watch commercials. And it's very confusing as to how it's even a separate app with a different name. But
it's confounding. But you know what? They're giving me my Bosch, so I'll take it.
They're giving me Bosch. And
Bosch, interestingly, Bosch Legacy is a Freevee show.
Was Bosch?
Bosch, what? No. Bosch, Amazon Prime.
Is that
Bosch Legacy?
Is that
Freevee.
Like a step down? See, to me, I feel like
I think
Freevee
so.
Is where they
I think so. I think,
throw shows they don't
I
like
think
that what, much.
No, I think what they're doing, it's interesting. I think because they're good shows, they're moving them to their ad-supported tier. They're making ad money on it. It's basically a way to, because Bosch Legacy also has half of the cast. So it's a cheaper show. And I think that's their way of like keeping some things going or keeping budgets down or something is to be like, oh, this will be on Freevee. So it'll be,
guess there's something where it's like, because it's on our ad supported something, we pay less. Yeah. We don't have to do as much for residuals or whatever. There's all those kinds of stupid loopholes. That
something
are always
like
to get
that.
Us on.
Yeah. But that's the thing is those fast channels, the ad supported channels, it's just TV. We're just going back to that. I mentioned American Born Chinese, which I'm loving.
I haven't
so
started
far.
It
I've,
yet.
I'm halfway into, or not halfway, I'm maybe three or four episodes.
Okay.
I can't remember how many they've put out. And it's great. I'm having a blast. But it gives me, I love a coming of age story. I love that kind of a sweet teenage
and
coming
it is,
of age
but
story.
He's
now,
like, there's a superhero element, right? Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, I
if
love
you
that.
Add not necessarily a superhero element, but the sort of a superhero element, a mythological hero element, or something like that, if you want. And it's great, really interesting. beautifully shot and you know, incredible performances. It's you know, most of the cast from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
It's a great,
okay,
great show.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying
and this
that.
Is, that's Disney Plus. Okay.
It is,
yeah,
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yes. There are some big shows that, you know, that,
yeah,
I love that I you know, that I'll shout,
like,
out even though I
Disney
wanna.
Disney Plus only gets me with the big shows. Like WandaVision,
yeah,
they really have to,
yep,
hype it up for me to go, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. This last season of The Bad Batch, which is one of the animated Star Wars shows, I thought was phenomenal.
I feel like they have so many Star Wars shows over there. I'm missing half. Like, I'm always just like, what do you mean there's a new thing? And now I got to watch Andor. Like, what is...
Oh, my God. Andor is incredible.
I just watched
actually.
The other one. Like, what...
Watch Andor if you can. Andor is maybe the best Star Wars of the last,
okay,
20 years.
Well, then that, okay.
Like,
that's
full
gonna
stop.
Get me to watch. That's a heavy claim.
With a caveat,
okay,
with a caveat, how into Star
I'm
Wars?
I'm very
are
into
you?
Star Wars.
Then Andor is truly, I think, the best modern Star Wars,
okay,
story. Full stop. It's like incredible, I think. It really is. Because there are, for me, all the other Star Wars, whether it's the sequel trilogy or the Mandalorian or animated shows, Clone Wars, Rebels. I love Rebels. Star Wars Visions, the one-off anthology anime, animated shorts that they've done. There's a lot of stuff that's great. But Andor is, from a storytelling point of view, the show that I don't have any problems with. That I'm
okay.
There's no element of it that I'm like, well, I love all this, but this doesn't work for me, or this is, I don't know, this or that. I'm not wild about this show. I was like, top to bottom, everything's fantastic.
Okay. See, I was afraid I'd be disappointed. Cause like I feel like there's so much happening that sometimes people are like, oh, this one was good, or this was just like Disney clearly trying to make money. And then I just was like,
so here's how I'll set it up for you, because this might help you understand, I think, why it's so good. This is a series that is the direct lead up to the events of Rogue One, the movie. It stars Diego Luna. It's a Tony Gilroy written show who made Michael Clayton and the Bourne movies,
oh, yeah,
and incredible writer, like one of the best writers of this generation, I think. And he's writing an incredibly devastating story about rebellion and about what it means to stand up to tyranny,
yeah,
and what it means to stand up. And it is, to be clear, not for,
okay,
kids.
Okay,
it is
that's what,
the,
okay,
first Star Wars show in a,
yeah,
long time that has no little kid characters, no cute this is it,
okay,
cute that. It is a brutal,
like,
story.
I thought it was another, this is a Disney kid show that happens to get
nope,
adults into it.
Not at all. It's the
okay,
opposite.
Not, okay,
it's,
if we're
it's,
talking adult TV, I'm in.
I think it's Lucasfilm's attempt to make a Star Wars for the older,
okay,
people that doesn't have overt entryway for,
yeah,
young people.
I was kind of tired,
you know,
of the, like, Star Wars for babies. I just, yeah.
Same.
Which, you know,
same.
Yeah,
it
can be,
you know,
for babies.
I watch it all.
Like,
I'm watching the kids show, the literal kids show. The animated kids,
yeah,
show. But this is not that, and I,
okay,
think you'll really, I think you'll,
I
if
love
you like
Star
Wars,
so now I'm gonna do that. Don't think I'll do the animated kids,
yeah,
show, but Andor.
No, that's fine. But this season two of Visions, which is just a series of individual animated shorts,
right?
Both seasons I think have been terrific, and they each, you know, they're, as all anthologies, they're kind of uneven. Some episodes are better than others, but the ones that are good, I think, are incredibly, both some of them devastating in story and some of them just dazzling in,
okay,
animation.
Okay, I'll check that too, because I love just anthology. Just, I,
yeah,
love that kind of style. But I wanted to talk more about the Clone High reboot, which,
yeah,
we're
great,
four episodes in now. I've really been enjoying it. I think it's a really refreshing take on the show. They've updated it in ways that some, they clearly had to.
Yep.
And some that are just really exciting. I will say that for so long, I thought you did the voice of Gandhi. And always like, just sounds like him. And then I'm finding out recently it was Michael McDonald from Mad TV.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, which, that's funny. Oh, yeah.
Now I see even more problematic. Which I totally forgot that was the reason the show was canceled, was that one character. And so...
Oh, I didn't know
that. There were a bunch of people who were like, the way they're depicting Gandhi is offensive. We don't like this. Oh, so that's why MTV didn't bring the show back. So in the reboot, that's why Gandhi is still frozen.
Still frozen, yeah. Okay, that's crazy. Yeah. How funny. What a weird thing. No, I'm enjoying that show. You know, anytime, I'll take any Lord and Miller anytime, anywhere. You know, like, it makes me happy. And there's just, it's again... I'm enjoying shows like This Fool, like Southside, like Letterkenny, that are jokes, that are interested in poking and prodding and putting jokes in places that might be uncomfortable or weird or funny. Or I like that people are still, I'm a little tired of what I feel like is the feel good comedies, the comedies that are softer and sweeter and
we can
don't
say it.
Have
it's the Ted Lassoification of TV. That's what they call it.
It really is.
You know?
Yeah, it really is. And I do think it's because we were having such a hard series of years that I think people wanted to tune into something that wasn't hard or prickly or difficult to get into. They wanted that, you know, warm bath of... You know, your Ted Lassos or your other
kind of
shows.
And then Apple TV, I think, just took it too far when they were like, how about instead of 30-minute episodes, each episode's an hour the final season. Ugh. And it just, it's too much. It's too sweet, too corny now. And I think 2023 is the year of the hard comedy. We got It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia coming back.
Great.
Like, the other two's been killing it. It's the year of the 30-minute comedy. Like, we're doing it.
Thank God, you know, and that's, you know, it really is. That has been something I was so happy when I was making my list that I was putting so many half hours on there, you know, that I wasn't just still stuck in a cycle of really solid 1 hours, although I have been watching a lot of
that. There's some great ones, but...
That there were, because that's the thing that I feel like in these last few years I've really been hungering for. Are shows that are, you know, funny. We're like funny, like Gemstones is funny. You know, like hard jokes, funny. And I feel like these shows, This Fool, Southside, Letterkenny, these are all the other two. These are funny fucking shows that I'm so glad they're out there. And I need people
to watch them. We got another season of Righteous Gemstones coming out this month. I need people to watch it. I need all of these shows that we're saying should sweep the comedy Emmys nomination category. But will they?
Absolutely not. Like, the number of people that I have told, have you been watching This Fool? And they have no idea what I'm talking about. Or the number of people who I've said, hey, are you watching Craig Robinson's show? And people are like, he has a show? It's absurd. And that's disheartening because there's all these great comics who are doing great shows, but they get no... Yeah. Anyway, it's so interesting. Everything comes back to the how hard it is to get to watch these things. And that narrative is in between you and I just telling people to enjoy
it. Yeah, it's like the studios don't want us to enjoy these shows, and we're fighting good fight. Enjoy these shows. We're trying to make you, we're waking you up. Join the Rebel Alliance of people who are watching all the shows.
Please. Please. I'll throw out a couple of more things just as we're wrapping up. One of my absolute favorite shows, and this show is funny, but it's not necessarily hilarious, like big hard comedy, but one of the most, I feel like, human stories being told on television is Somebody Somewhere.
Oh, I love Somebody Somewhere. Yes.
Bridget Everett's
just
show
got a third
on Max.
Season renewal, so.
Incredible performance from Bridget Everett. Incredible performance from Jeff Hiller. Like, truly fantastic Jeff Hiller performance. Just one of my
all-time
favorites.
And that one is on HBO, but it got so lost in the shuffle of, like, Barry and Secession that, like, no one even noticed the finale. And it was beautiful.
It's a great, it's truly a wonderful show. And I really urge people to, it's a small show. It's about, it's really a very human story in a way that I feel like a lot of people don't get access to those stories. Yeah. And this one is, it's just incredible. I think it's a beautiful show. It's a half hour, but it's not a sitcom necessarily. It's absolutely worth everybody getting into because
Bridget Everett has done something so just original with it that it's just so good. And I did not think it would get renewed, honestly, because it's just not the kind of show that platforms seem interested in making these days. So when we got that third season renewal yesterday, oh, I was very, very happy.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I was as well. It's one of those shows that I'm so happy when the new episode is out. I'm so happy to be in their world with them, going through all of the trials and tribulations of life. And I don't want to take away from it. It is very funny.
Yeah.
It's a very funny show.
Yeah. The last moment of the finale probably got one of the biggest laughs of the year for me.
Promote it as if it's a you know, sad or you know, but it's about people dealing with stuff, but it is funny people dealing with stuff. So as that being said, like, it's an absolutely
must watch.
But yeah,
you still feel for their friendship. It's so good. What else do you want?
Oh, yeah.
We got to get all the wrecks out for the people.
I've been watching a lot of the Agatha Christie TV adaptations.
Oh, yeah.
So Hugh Laurie did one called Why Didn't They Ask Evans? Which stars Will Poulter and Lucy Boynton.
I haven't heard about this
Hugh Laurie.
Is it on AMC?
Incredible. I don't know. It's either on AMC. It's on BritBox.
Okay,
I know that. Not to brag, but I have BritBox.
That's a fancy one.
So I can watch all the British detective shows that I want. That was great. There was another one that had Bill Nighy in it and a bunch of other great people called And Then There Were... No. Bill Nighy was the other one. Charles Dance was in And Then There Were None, which Sam Neill was in. That was also a great cast. Great. They're just great. It started when Poker Face ended. I was like, I'm loving the whodunit element of this series. And so there's all of these great Agatha Christie adaptations that are about, you know, it's 2 or 3 1-hour episodes. So it's kind of like a movie, but told episodically.
I feel like,
and
British TV, they're so good at a detective. They're so good at it.
Really, very good. I will throw out a documentary that's absolutely fantastic for us and our business especially. The prolific character, wiretapper, private investigator, Anthony Pelicano, who went to jail for 17 years, had a podcast called Sin Eater, The Crimes of Anthony Pelicano, which I loved.
Oh, I love it. Sin Eater. I watched this one. It's on Hulu. It's part of the New York Times Presents on Hulu series.
Correct.
Oh, it is. That one was so good. I had never heard of this man. And I was just like,
oh, okay.
What do we do about this?
Yeah. So I had heard about him and I was like, this is everything I want. Cause it's really like it's wall to wall characters, him, all the lawyers. Yeah. It's crazy. It's basically he was the private investigator wiretapper that Hollywood moguls and stars would use to investigate each other, to, you know, to commit crimes,
hide their
on behalf of the studio.
There's a whole thing with like Chris Rock
blackmail
trying
people.
To like hide a dalliance with some woman he's cheating on his wife with, and you hear all the video of the guy being like, I can tear this woman apart, I got you, and it's like, oh no.
It's nuts. The whole thing is nuts, and it's just a wild character study. And it's especially interesting in the kind of Hollywood of then, which is only 20 some odd years ago, versus the Hollywood of now, which is really kind of what we're talking about, which is tech. We're talking about, we work in tech companies now. A lot of these things are, you know, all this problem we're having talking about streaming and all this stuff. This is all because of the disruptive nature of big tech in our business, which
and
is
interesting. And now it's, you know, celebrities don't need an Anthony Pelicano to eat their sins. They just go on Instagram and do a live and say something nice. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, OK, we're over it.
Yeah. That same series, New York Times Presents, also had a great documentary about Jay Dilla, the producer, beat maker from Slum Village and from all these other iconic, this iconic run of hip hop albums, an incredible character, an incredible documentary about him and his impact and influence called The Legacy of Jay Dilla. That's a
that
fantastic
really
episode.
Good. Yeah.
Really like that. Because so many people were talking about it, I had never watched Picard, the show Picard. And everybody was talking about it. Paul Scheer especially kept telling me that he loved it and he thought I would as well. Just season three. He was talking about season three, Picard. And I was like, I haven't watched seasons one and two. That feels like a lot. But I caved. I started watching season three.
You just skipped one and two totally.
Turns out, didn't need to know. It's fantastic, Ashley. The show is a blast.
I can just skip two whole seasons.
I did, and I don't think I'm missing much of anything. And I'll go one further. I do know that a lot of this series is making references and callbacks to old episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager. They're referencing, I don't know any of those shows. I know nothing about that stuff, and I'm still having a blast. Because it's basically, and I didn't know that, but it's perfectly dialed into where I'm at right now, it's a whodunit in space.
Okay. Yeah.
It's basically then,
you can just pop
Picard
in.
And the old crew need to solve a mystery.
Okay.
And that's then, what happens. Yeah. And it's great.
I'm going to do it. I rarely do a show out of order, but for you, I will watch Picard from season three.
I'm the same, because I really wrestled with it, because I was like, am I going to have to watch these first two seasons just to do it? And so many people were like, don't do that. Because the first two seasons aren't, it's different showrunners.
I did two episodes of the first season and just didn't really get into
it.
And was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. And, you know, didn't want to pay for Paramount Plus anymore.
I'll shout out just a couple more things. I think you should leave. Tim Robinson's incredible sketch show is back for season three on Netflix. It's like, next
it's
level.
It's still just
hilarious.
So good. I don't know how they just keep getting better and better.
And it makes me, you know, I still watch Saturday Night Live every week when it's on. Watch it though, you know. And I still have such an appetite for sketch comedy. And so I'm so happy. I Think You Should Leave is there. This year, History of the World Part 2 came out, which was, full disclosure, I was on an episode, but it was a great sketch series. And then one of my favorite comedians right now, Jamie Dimitriou, who does Staff Let's Flats, the British show Staff Let's Flats. British comedian, he was on Fleabag. You would recognize him. He's been in a lot of stuff. He did a special for Netflix that's just sketches. It's a comedy special, but it's just disjointed
it's
sketches.
Like The Life of Jamie or
A Whole Lifetime. It's called A Whole Lifetime.
I loved this when I saw it. My favorite sketch is like the teenagers who are like trying to force themselves to have sex. And it was so good. And I thought, oh, everyone's going to talk about this. People know Staff Let's Flats. And it just got lost.
Zero. It didn't make,
a dent.
Like, even it didn't, again, I'm shocked. It didn't make a dent to comedians, to my peers who I'd be like, hey, have you watched Jamie Dimitriou's sketch special? And people would be like, what are you talking about?
It just,
that's shocking.
And I don't know. It's
me.
Like, we don't have the same media channels or TV sites writing about these things. Like 8 years ago, the AV Club would have been all over that and would have, you know.
Oh my God. Everybody would have been freaking out. And it just, that doesn't exist anymore. And then I'll just shout out a couple of last things. I know we're wrapping up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're the one with the out. So.
Genndy Tartakovsky, incredible animator, creator of everything from Samurai Jack to, I think he was part of the Powerpuff Girls. He did the original Star Wars Clone Wars short series. In recent years, he did the Hotel Transylvania movies, but in recent years, he did a show for HBO Max called Primal. That is an incredibly beautiful animated show about like a Neanderthal man and his best friend who is a T-Rex. And that's an incredible show.
I've heard about this
that
one.
I can't recommend enough.
For some reason, I thought it was on Prime, but
No, it's on HBO, or it's on Max now. And it's there's two seasons of it, and it's phenomenal. It's there are no there's no dialogue because obviously nobody speaks. So it's beautiful, just visual storytelling in and it's so it's beautifully drawn. Everything about it is great. But that is merely to set up. That's a great series. Please, everybody watch Primal. But he has a brand new show that has just started. There's only four or five episodes, and it's called Unicorn Warriors Eternal. And it is incredible. I cannot recommend this show enough. It is my favorite show right now that I've been trying to get everybody into. It is also on HBO, or it is also on Max. Oh. And I don't even want to explain what it is because it's, frankly, it's too difficult to explain, but it's a incredible fantasy adventure show, forces of good versus forces of evil.
I'm reading the description and I'm in. It's a young girl unwittingly infused with magical ability. All I need to read. Young girl magic, I'm in. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Both of those incredible. Unicorn Warriors Eternal and Primal. Alone season 10 is about to come out. Just the anticipation, I couldn't be more hyped for Alone season 10.
I finally got into Alone since we last talked. Got into it and I'm like, I did season 9 and then I'm just like going to hop into the new season. I'm ready.
Have you done any of the older ones?
No. Everyone's like, you should
You absolutely should go back, but don't just go back to any and all of them. If you want, offline, I can tell you the seasons that I think are pretty incredible because there's like four seasons that are fantastic.
That's all I want. Yeah, and then I want the highlights.
Then there's a couple of other seasons. Listen, everything's good. It's a great show, but there are a couple of seasons that just don't work as well for me.
Okay.
So Alone season 10. And then I want to shout out two movies, if you don't mind.
I'll allow it.
One of which is because it's related to a TV show that I want to shout out because I love it, even though it's not recent.
Okay.
Did you watch the TV show We Are Lady Parts?
Yeah.
On Peacock.
Love We Are Lady Parts. I was really hoping we get more episodes.
Love, obsessed with We Are Lady Parts. The writer-director, Nita Manzoor from We Are Lady Parts, has a new movie out called Polite Society that is incredible. If you liked We Are Lady Parts, it is very similarly, the tone is very similar. And it's, I know I've said it's a great coming of age story about 1,000 times today, but it's a beautiful coming of age story for these two sisters who live in London and the lives that they're living and how they are kind of diverging from each other and trying to get back in. I don't even want to get into it too much other than to say it's a beautiful story. It's a hilarious story. It's a great, great movie.
And with a strong TV background.
TV background.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, I will also tie it back. This is unrelated to TV, but but I want to hype it because I want it to get more attention. Because I'm a huge fan of rom-coms. I'm a huge fan of rom-coms in a way that I fear we just aren't doing them anymore. I'm talking about like real rom-coms feel like engaged and like I feel like there's chemistry, not like, wouldn't it be funny if...
these two opposite side people...
It's not a gimmick rom-com. Like, I picked up the wrong hat box from the cleaners and now I'm in love with this guy's hat or whatever, It's really just people meet and the rest of their experience is compelling and chemistry and funny and visually interesting. The movie is called Rye Lane. Rain Alan Miller is the director. It's a British movie. Rom-com, beautiful. It's on Hulu. It's streaming now. It's absolutely terrific. I cannot recommend it enough. The music is great. It's visually stunning, I think. It's beautifully written. The performances are fantastic. The young actors who are in it are so compelling and have such genuine chemistry. It doesn't feel like, well, in order to get this movie made, we need one of the actors from this list and one of the actresses from this list. And we'll put them together and that's the movie. This feels real. It feels like a good, compelling story.
Yeah, I mean, Hulu has a lot of good original movies right now. Another good rom-com they just did, it came out in February, is Three Ways.
I don't know it.
Really good. It's the girl from Degrassi is in it, which...
Oh, okay.
But she plays this girl who has just, like, fallen for someone she thinks could be the love of her life. And she thinks that she's too prudish. So to, like, seal the relationship, she decides to have a threesome. And you see it from each person's perspective.
Oh, great.
And it's so funny.
I'll watch that. Oh, great.
Yeah, it's so funny. It is a rom-com in a way that you don't expect.
Perfect.
And you're just like, how did we get here? But I love this.
Oh, that's great. And I'll shout out, even though it's not recent, although hopefully we'll get more of it, a rom-com TV series that I loved is Starstruck, the Rose Matafeo show.
Yes. Starstruck.
It's on Max. There's two seasons of it. And it's kind of a reverse Notting Hill. What if a woman has a one-night stand with a guy she realizes is a famous movie star, and then what happens then? You know, that's a very simplistic way of setting it up because it's a lot more. It's about this lead character and her kind of figuring out who she is and what her story is.
Where she wants to be. And,
I think that show's dynamite.
It's so good. I hope we get more. Who knows with what they're doing over at Max. But I want to thank you for joining me, for sharing all the TV you love. I feel your passion for it. I got the passion. We're getting people to watch TV.
Come on. I would love for the audience that is listening to this to reply to you and tell you what they thought of the stuff we're recommending.
Yeah, I love hearing what people
think
about
feedback.
The shows.
I'm not on social media, so don't try and tell me about it.
Yeah.
But tell Ashley about it.
Tell me about it.
So I can be vindicated.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining me. If you're listening, you know all the things to watch with Jason. And also listen to How Did This Get Made? Not on social media, so, you know, tell me
so,
what you
yeah,
think.
Yeah, so, but I will say, please, if you're out there, please be watching Housebroken Season 2, Sunday nights on Fox, and Star Trek Prodigy.
Yes, the finale has not aired yet for Housebroken. Watch it. Last episode, there was actually a reference to Alabama Jackson, the show I wrote on.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there's the Illinois James joke with Donald. That was a reference
great.
To our show no one watched. So go watch
Amazing.
Housebroken. It will tide you over while Bob's Burgers is gone.
Please watch Star Trek Prodigy. I would appreciate that. We need those eyeballs. And we need it. And if you're worried about a show that you like or you want them to make more of it, set your TV or your iPad to just autoplay all the episodes in a row, because the number that these streamers are looking at isn't the number of people who are watching the show. It's the number of people who complete the series. So the completion rate, I hate that I'm having to say this on this podcast. The completion rate it matters. So please, if you like a show, even if you think you'll watch it later or whatever, autoplay the whole season so that those numbers exist, so that hopefully we can make more of these shows.
I want more Housebroken. I absolutely love it. Thank you for joining me. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Scott Sani, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon. And you can also find my full archive ad-free episodes of TV I Say over on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code TV I Say, all one word, for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.